Hi, everybody. Welcome. Let's welcome Jim B. He's going to speak on an alcoholic death or living a spiritual life. Go ahead, Jim.
Thanks, Sandy. My name is Jim. I am a recovered and recovering person in a number of different programs. And I've decided that's what I'm going to introduce myself as for now, because I don't want to take a position. I'm a Libra, so it's very hard for me to decide, am I recovered? Am I recovering? But I am both, you know. I'm recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I've got a lot of work to do. Anyway, I do want to start with a prayer. I think that's always a good way to start. God, higher power, love, please help me set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and a new experience. Help me to see the truth about my life run on self-will that can hardly be a success, and my need to stay in contact with your love and your way of life. And may whatever I say today be honest, be helpful, and be what's needed to be said. Okay, I didn't do a lot of preparing for this. I'm not a polished, all my disclaimers now. I'm not a polished, 12-step speaker. I have ADHD, so trying to stay on one track with something is really complicated. I'm always really envious of these people who could just jump from the big book to their life, to their stories, to back to the big, I don't know how they juggle all those things. I can't do that. So, I guess my gift from my higher power is I just have to be honest. Because I can't. And it's interesting, during the meditation, I started thinking about what I wanted to say. And that just, that's about my ego, right? I want to look good. I mean, honestly, I want to be helpful too. It's not just looking good. I want to be of service, and I want to help people, and I want to say the right thing, and the only way this works for me really is to trust my higher power. And like, even picking a topic, I didn't really know, like, how do I pick a topic for this? So it just had been what had been on my mind recently. And this to die an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. So recently, I've shifted my focus in recovery somewhat. I'm now focusing on a media addiction and also doing some pretty powerful work in ACA. And honestly, the media addiction for me has been a gift, because even though okay, I'm not supposed to swear. It's cunning, baffling, and powerful times some big number, because it's everywhere, and I'm on Zoom right now. I'm on media, doing recovery, but I'm also, anyway, it's just take it's a for me, my original the things that brought me into 12-step recovery were drugs and alcohol. And, those are binary. I mean, it's very clear whether I'm drinking or not drinking. It's very clear whether I'm smoking marijuana or not smoking marijuana. It's not easy, but it's clear. It's clear what sobriety means. Recovery is a whole different ballpark, right? But at least sobriety is very clear. With media, it's very challenging. And what that's meant for me is that I've had to really trust and rely on a power greater than myself. And in a way that I had never been willing to do before, because, like one of my hobbies, one of my best skills is resting on my laurels. I really enjoy sort of being self-satisfied, like I got this, like that in my head, that feels good, but it doesn't work in recovery, because of this reality for me, which is dying an alcoholic death or living on a spiritual basis, So what that means for me, and I've come to kind of realize this recently, somewhat through my work with ACA, and also I'm doing a workshop, a step workshop that's an offshoot of BBA, called the Stones Workshop, where we have a small group that's going through that. Are the stones properly in place? I realized that I have a new addiction, which is a very old addiction, which is I'm addicted to the idea that I need to fix my life. And I spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to do that. What I should be doing, what I need to be doing, what I'm not doing, what I could be doing. It's all in a way, it's all positive stuff, but in my head, it be all becomes negative because it's all like, what I'm, it ends up being what I'm not doing. I'm focusing on what I'm not doing most of the time. And this idea that it's all on my shoulders to fix myself, is the opposite of living on a spiritual basis. It's living on, selfishness and self-centeredness. Even if I want to be more like, even if my end goal is to be more connected, to be of service, which it is, if I'm sitting here trying to figure out how to make myself be that way, I'm not living life on a spiritual basis. I'm living in my head. And that's a very comfortable place for me to be, even though it's really, maybe, I don't know if comfortable is the right word, but it's where it's my go-to. As I said, it's an addiction. Let me just figure this out. If I just sit down and think about it hard enough, and if I try harder, then my life will get better. And it just doesn't seem to work out. It's not a good plan for me to live my life on that basis. 'Cause, I'm always in collision with something or someone, often with myself. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, so living life on a spiritual basis, what the heck does that mean? it sounds so simple. And the way that it's laid out, I only have two choices, so that should be pretty clear, right? But I think along with the idea that I was expressing about being addicted to fixing my own life, Okay, I just completely lost my train of thought there. What did I want to say? Just a moment. I don't know. It's gone. So we'll find something else. Well, I was talking about what it means to live a spiritual life. That when I'm planning for the future of what I'm going to do, how I'm going to change, how I'm going to be different, how I'm going to start making those phone calls that I never make, how I'm going to start, doing something or stop doing something that I can't stop doing. I'm not living in the present moment. I'm not living my life, And the thing is, like, alcoholic death or spiritual life, it's every moment is the only time that I can make that choice. I can't make it in the future. I can't fix myself in the future. I can only, even the idea of like doing the next right thing is already, I'm already putting myself into the future. I can only do what I'm doing now and then the next thing. And even that I need help with, to do the next right thing and not the next wrong thing. And I don't mean right and wrong in any kind of moral sense. I mean, I'm either moving towards an alcoholic death or I'm moving towards a spiritual life. There is no, door number three, as we say. And every choice I make is impacting my direction and my trajectory, right? And that's been really freeing for me to come to that realization that it's not about what I'm going to be doing or what I need to do, or it's what I do now. And it's not like it's not like suddenly I'm living my life fully on a spiritual basis. It's just that somehow I've managed, it feels like I've dropped this whole idea of that I'm responsible for fixing myself. Which is all, again, in my head, right? It's all just my disease, really. That's my disease. My disease is this idea that I'm not connected. I'm separate. No one can help me. I have to do this myself. I don't know what to trust. That's when I'm moving towards an alcoholic death. Anyway, I did, there is that line in the big book, but then there's another paragraph that I really love, which says the same exact thing. But I'll read this. If you are a seriously, this is page 25, there is a solution. If you are a seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there is no middle of the road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible. And if we had passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could, and the other to accept spiritual help. I think part of this for me is actually remembering that I've passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid. I forget that all the time. Is that 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. I forget that all the time. Human aid is my, like, that's my go-to. And that's why I have to live a life that is connected with you guys, with recovery, because I constantly have to be reminded that I have passed beyond human aid. And that's, that's not easy for my ego to accept. And, I think just the idea that, I can't fix me is a huge surrender. Because it also means that I don't have control over where my life is going to go. And, that's scary. That's scary to my ego. But I have passed that point. Every time I try to fix myself, I end generally end up making things worse. So, I need to rely on a power greater than myself. And I'm constantly trying to, I don't know how to say this correctly. How to find that? How to see, it's seeking, it's not understanding, it's not, but currently my higher power is love. That's sort of what I've landed on as what I can rely on. And as is said in some other spiritual traditions, there's only two emotions, love and fear. And that describes a lot of my life, I think, and a lot of my disease is living in fear versus living in love. And why is it so much harder to live in love? I don't know. It should be easier. But it's not. So, it takes constant watching, like in step 10, we're watching for all these things to come up, these disturbances, and then I have to turn to a higher power to ask to have it be removed. So, if I just keep doing that, it sounds so simple. Simple program for complicated people, as we say. I definitely have a complicated mind, and somehow it's getting better. I don't understand it, and I'm not trying to fix it. So that's pretty cool. Thanks for listening.